Thank you, Daryl, and the praise team for leading us all in these wonderful songs about the Word of God. And the one we just sang, though it's brand new, or very new, just recently written, has such substance to it, doesn't it? And I'm so glad that we're singing such songs as these. How many of you have a Bible with you tonight? Let's just hold them up. I want to see. And some of you are holding up some electronic things and that's your Bibles too. Now, I can't prove that you're reading the Bible when you've got that going, but I'm trusting you to do it right, all right? As we speak right now, the Olympics closing ceremony is in progress. But I want you to know that the Olympics are not over as of tonight. For us who know the Lord, the spiritual Olympics, God's Olympics, are still in progress. And if you are a Christian, you're in. And God calls us to spiritual fitness in God's Olympics. And I want you to see that as we turn to the middle of the Bible. Tell me, class, offhand, what is the middle book of the Bible? When you open up your Bible, what do you find? The book of Psalms. I'd like you to turn to the longest passage of Scripture, the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119. And I want you to think of this theme that we find in verse 32, which says this, I run in the path of your commands. Now, as you look at Psalm 119, without peeking, how many verses are in Psalm 119? Somebody has been studying his Bible. Thank you. I heard somebody say 176 verses. And you'll discover that it's broken into several sections. And in fact, 22 sections altogether, each of them with 8 verses. And if you want to get to acquainted with Hebrew, probably your Bible at the beginning of each of those 22 sections has a Hebrew letter, and it's spelled out in English as well. For instance, the first 8 verses begin with Aleph. That's the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And then the second section of 16 verses is Beth, and then Gimel, and then Daleth, and Hey, and Wow, and Zion, and Haith, and Taith, and Yoth, and Kaf, and Lam, and all the way through till you get all the way to Tau, the last letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And it's interesting to note, if you had a Hebrew Bible, you would see that each of those first 8 verses in Psalm 119 begins with the letter Aleph. And in the second section, each of those verses begins with the letter Beth, and so on, all the way through. And here we have what we call an acrostic psalm. There are other psalms like that as well. Psalm 25 is one. Psalm 34 is another. 22 verses in each of those psalms. If you look at Psalm 145, you will notice that it has only 21 verses, but actually it is an acrostic psalm. And when they discovered the Dead Sea Scrolls, they found the one verse that had been lost in the King James Version. And in newer translations, you'll find it put in there because of the flow of those Aleph all the way through Tau. They're all there. And so these acrostic psalms were written to help us to memorize the psalms. When I was a boy, my father saw to it that we 3 sons of his would memorize a psalm every summer. When we were younger, it was shorter psalms like Psalm 1 or Psalm 8 or Psalm 23. As we grew up, Dad gave us a little longer psalms like Psalm 19 and Psalm 34, which has those 22 verses in it, or Psalm 118, which you'll find right next door to Psalm 119. Look at Psalm 118. It's right in the middle between the shortest psalm and the longest psalm. Psalm 117, how many verses does that have? Just 2. But Psalm 119 has 176. Now, I want you to turn your attention especially to Psalm 119, and we're not going to cover it all tonight. I just want to share with you some thoughts about it. And if you'll come back next Sunday, and if the Lord hasn't come yet, and come the next Sunday after that, during these three Sunday evenings, I want us to focus on this amazing, wonderful psalm that talks about the Bible. In fact, of these 176 verses, there are 178 times that the Bible is mentioned in one word or another, like ways or precepts or promises or commandments or words, all these wonderful words that describe the Bible. And I want you now to let me read with you, beginning with verse 1, Psalm 119. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Did you notice those first three verses are talking in the third person? They and he. But now, beginning with verse 4 and all the way through the rest of Psalm 119, it is you and I, me. Listen to it. Verse 4, you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my eyes were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. And it goes on and on like that. I, you. I would encourage you to take time, maybe this week, to read through the whole of Psalm 119. And don't read it just as somebody else saying this, but make it your own expression of talking directly to God. This actually is a prayer, a wonderful prayer. And I want you now to see some amazing things about it. When I mention that spiritual fitness is found here, and this is God's Olympics, think for a minute, though, by the way, about the Olympics that have just happened. This next slide will show you a picture. Did you watch this happen just a few hours ago? There's that fella from Jamaica by the name of Bolt who's jolting over the line and winning a race. Right behind him is the U.S., and to the right in that picture is Canada coming up. Isn't that wonderful? We thought for about 5 minutes that we had won the bronze. But look over to the left. There is Trinidad and Tobago, and they eventually were awarded the bronze. Why? Because one of our runners took just one step outside the boundary of the two lines that were on either side of him, and he stepped over that left line, which meant that the race was just a smidgen shorter than it ought to be. And that was a no-no. Now, wouldn't it be nice if the Olympic Committee said, well, that's okay, you did, the rest of it was so good, so we'll just give you the bronze. But no, we lost it. Why? Because of one misstep. Boy, you could preach a message about that, couldn't you? I am glad to tell you this, that we do have a Heavenly Father who, though He has set a race before us, every one of us, even as Christians, have on occasion stepped over the line, either in thought or word or deed. But aren't you glad that He can forgive if, say it with me, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, for months, for years, those guys have been in training. And may I tell you this, friends? how wonderful it is to see people who've walked with Jesus or run with Jesus for many years, and yet as they've gotten towards the end, in one way or another, they've messed it up. And that scares me, because I'm somebody who came to know Jesus 74 years ago. I won't tell you how old I am, but I was 4 years old when I received Jesus as my Savior. But as I get older, I realize, and I have seen it happen in other lives, it's possible to mess it up at the end. And that's why I still need to be in training. And that's why, again, this past week, Adrian and I were doing our swimming to try to keep our bodies physically in shape. But we also need to keep our minds and our hearts in shape before the Lord. All of us need to be in God's Olympics, continuing. There's no retirement program for this. As long as you're still breathing on planet Earth, keep in training. I want you to see another picture. Just to back in our, when we were celebrating our 50th wedding anniversary, my cousin, Dr. Tom Reese, a medical doctor in California who took early retirement and moved to California, moved to Hawaii. He said, "Hey, folks, come on over and celebrate with us, and we'll take care of you." Well, that was a wonderful trip. Then we went over from Maui, where he lived, and spent a week over on the Big Island. And while we were there, October 21, 2006, now that's 6 years ago, we were there at the time of the Ironman Triathlon World Championship. And you'll see that there are three things that take place there. First, there was a swim of 2.4 miles, and then biking immediately of, we have to go back to that again so I can see that. So, biking of 112 miles, and then running a full marathon of 26.2 miles. How many of you'd like to do that tomorrow with, all right? That takes training. There were 1,800 athletes who were there, and now here you find them starting out. I took this picture of them heading out swimming for that 2.4-mile swim. The next picture, as you click it, will show a guy wanting to see it. He was standing near me, couldn't see very well, so he climbed a palm tree, getting a better view. And now here's another picture of them coming back. And the first guy, there he is, just coming out of the water. And now the next slide will show you him immediately running and getting on his bike to begin that 112-mile race. And following that, the next picture will show you running. And here they are running. Now, the runner going right, about in the middle of the picture, is 10 miles ahead of the runners going left. That shows you how far those guys were behind some of the more fit fellows. And running a 26.2-mile foot race, that was the third stage of the triathlon. And the winner for the men won $100,000, and the winner for the women won $100,000 as well. But I want you to have a sense of how important it is to be physically in shape if you're going to do something like that. Also mentally in shape to take the grueling grind of it all. Now, I want to change the story and talk to you about the spiritual Olympics. God has called us to be fit, to be able to be involved in what life is really all about. And this next slide says this. Every believer, if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, I want you to know you are in God's Olympics. And I want you to see how we are to participate. How can we get involved in this? Three ways: with my intellect, and with my emotions, and with my will. And it will help you, if you'd like to take notes, to take that yellow, or what color is it? You know, kind of greenish. What color? Well, you see it there, out of your bulletin, and you can take some notes as we look at this a little more closely. Would you look, first of all, with this matter of exercising your intellect? God has given you intellect, emotion, and a will. This is something that makes you uniquely a human being. And we need to use our intellect. God has given you the capacity to think. And God has given us His Word with which to think. And I want you to see that you need, and I need, to program our brains. How? With the Word of God. Know God's thoughts. What's He thinking anyway? I want you to think about thinking God's thoughts. And as you exercise in God's Olympics, it's sad to say that the only exercise some people get is jumping at conclusions or running down people. That's not a good exercise either. Or sidestepping responsibilities or pushing their luck. But God has called us into training. It was Paul who said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, he said, "Physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for the present life and the life to come." And so exercise is not for the purpose of saying when you die, well, what a healthy looking corpse. What a prepared person for living with Jesus in heaven forever. And that's if you exercise spiritually. Exercise well, somebody said, and you'll die healthier. Yes, we're all going to die, no matter how much exercise we do physically. But spiritual exercise will prepare you not only for this life, but for the life to come forever and ever. Physical exercise profits. It does. The body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, the mind, which helps you as you think better, more positively. If you're in shape physically, it can help you mentally as well. And as far as the soul is concerned, your soul is affected by how you feel physically and vice versa. If you're sick, don't you feel that downer? And yet, at the same time, you can still have a healthy soul and spirit if you'll keep close to the Lord and in His Word. If you are spiritually healthy, it will affect your body. Many people are suffering physically as a byproduct of not being healthy spiritually. May I encourage you, above all, be healthy spiritually. Bodily exercise is some, but spiritual exercise profits greatly. And be properly concerned about your health. That's proper. May I encourage you to sleep well? By that I mean not too much or too little. And eat well. A diet, somebody said, is a short period of starvation preceded by the gain of 5 pounds. And going on a diet, somebody said, is the triumph of mind over platter. May God help us in that too. And so sleep well, eat well, exercise well, and may I say, think well. Just as it's not wise to eat junk food, let me tell you, there's a lot of junk trying to get into your mind today. Don't let it come in. Fill it rather with that which is eternal. And that's why you are blessed if you just saturate yourself in the wonderful Word of God. Oh, what an amazing book this is. Don't be lazy or out of shape as a Christian. Did you know the church has been likened often to a hospital where sick people spiritually can come to find healing? It's also been likened, a church is likened to a school where we are learning, being taught. And you could also say that a church is a fitness center. And this is a place where we're learning to exercise spiritually to become everything that God wants us to be. And each of us is to be an encourager. Every Christian is to be an encourager, as Hebrews 10:24 says, to provoke one another or spur one another on to love and good works. So that's why it's so important for us to get together on a regular basis, because we're all in this race together and we're encouraging each other to be spiritually fit for God's Olympics. So now my purpose today here is to encourage you to be spiritually fit. And I want to ask you, how are you doing? And this Psalm 119, you could say, is actually a spiritual gymnasium. So are you ready to go? Well, let's look at it here. And as you see it, first of all, to exercise our intellect by learning God's Word. Learn God's Word. Program your brain with the Word of God. Get to know God's thoughts. And let me give you three words here. First of all, master God's Word until it masters you. Get to know it so well that you really understand it. And in this psalm, if we had time, we could point out many verses that talk about getting to know this Word. You'll see the word, for instance, look at verse 12. Your Bible is open. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. And you'll find, as I did a study of this psalm, just sat down with just these 176 verses for a prolonged period of time, just to do an inductive study of the psalm and see what's here. And what I discovered is there are 9 times in these 176 verses where you'll find the scripture saying, teach me your word, your decrees, your commands. And 3 times it speaks about, I'm learning your commands. And then not only master it so that you just get it into your system, but memorize God's Word. Look at verse 11. And many of you memorized this Bible verse, haven't you? It says, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Memorize the Word of God. And may I tell you that you are not too old to memorize. When my father and mother came to live with us from Michigan back a few years ago, back in 1985, and my dad was then 80, and while he was living with us, he lived to be 96, but when he was 90, he was still memorizing Scripture, and I had him stand and quote before our congregation at Benton Street Baptist. I had him quote all of Psalm 145 by memory. And you may say, well, I'm getting too old to memorize. No, we aren't. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And here you'll discover that memorizing God's Word will help us to do that. Verse 52 talks about that as well. Look at verse 52. I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. When you memorize, then you've got something to remember. So memorize God's Word. And verse 153, you'll see it says this, consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. So memorize, remember, don't forget. Soak it up. Not only master it and memorize it, but meditate on God's Word. Let me ask you a question. Where's your mind? By that I mean, what are you thinking about right now? Now you could be sitting here looking even at me, but your mind could be 1,000 miles away. It's amazing what the mind can do. But meditate on God's Word. Just saturate yourself. Just marinate in it. Soak your brain in the Word of God. Ruminate on it. That's an interesting word, isn't it? Ruminate is what a cow does when it chews its cud. Have you ever watched a cow? And it's been eating the grass, walking around and with its head always down, eating. Then finally it goes and sits down. Looks like nothing's happening, and all of a sudden, oh, what's happened there? it is brought up from one stomach, the food that is just eaten, and it brings it back up to chew it some more. And that's what God wants us to do with the Scriptures. We put it in there, we memorize it, but then we meditate on it and just bring it back up again and chew it and chew it and chew it. And let's do that with God's Word. So not only exercise with your intellect, all of that takes intellectual energy. But now I want to move to something else. Exercise your emotions. Spiritual fitness with my emotions. And this now gets to not just an intellectual awareness of God's truth and of who God is, but this now gets into the love affair that it's all about. Oh, listen. When your emotions get touched with what Jesus is all about, with what His Word is all about, with all these glorious truths, oh, and you're in love with Him, and you're in love with His Word. Oh, a true heart of devotion to God knows a full heart of emotion for God. Emotions, you know, and God made you to have emotions. Aren't you glad that you're not just a robot? But you have feeling. And God wants us to have feeling about His Word. I want you to see it here. First of all, long for God's Word. You'll see that in verse 40. Just look at verse 40, for instance. Here's what it says. Behold, I long for your precepts, so revive me in your righteousness. He has such a longing for God's wonderful word. In verse 48, he says, I reach out my hands for your commands, which I love. Verse 131, he talks about, just look at verse 131. I open my mouth and I pant. For I longed for your commandments. Oh, just so eager to have God's word. I'm just so attracted to it. I love your word. I want you to see something else here. Delight in God's word. Look at verse 16. It says, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. To take a delight, to enjoy God's Word. In fact, there are 9 times in this psalm, that's just one of several, 9 times where you'll find these words, your statutes or your truth are my delight. I just enjoy it so much. In verse 14, look at verse 14. The Lord is... verse 14, here we are. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. Now, if I were to tell you, tomorrow, go to the bank, I want you to check your bank account, and you're going to find $1 million that I've just put in your account. And you go to the bank tomorrow, say, I can't believe Jim Reese would do that for me, but I'll check. but I'll check it out. And sure enough, how would your response be? Well, I guess the guy said it, so it's true. No, wouldn't you be excited? Now listen, here's a bank account that's yours, and it's worth more than what Bill Gates has. And I want you to know that you have every reason to rejoice in God's amazing word. Delight in it. Rejoice in it. It moves the tears of joy in your heart. And not only that, but love God's Word. Love it. Again, just look at this psalm. Well, let's take an illustration. Verse 47. I will delight myself in your commands, which I love. There it is. In fact, I discovered, as I was going through this psalm, a total of 10 times, verse 47, 48, 97, 100, I won't tell you all those. You can find them for yourself. Make it an interesting study as you read through that. How many times you can find how I love your word. I like verse 97. Look at that. 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation day and night. And so our emotions are greatly moved as we fall in love with the Word of God. So first of all, let it come through our intellect, and then it'll touch your emotions. It'll just set you on fire. It'll just cause your heart to be so enraptured with the wonder of love for the Lord and His Word. Warren Wiersbe says, "The way you treat your Bible is the way you treat Jesus Christ. He is the living Word, and the Bible is the written Word." May I also say this, by the way, that good lovers are also good haters. Did you hear what I said? Good lovers are also good haters. The Scripture says in Psalm 97, verse 10, "You who love the Lord, hate evil." And the more you will love the Lord, the more sensitized you will be to the evil that is in our society and that is all around us, and the evil that is in our own hearts, apart from the grace of God. And may I encourage you to have such emotion that you will not only love the Lord, but that you and I will also hate sin. How sad it is that so many people, even who sit in churches and profess to love the Lord, can be loving sin all the way through the week. And that happens simply because we're not really loving the Lord as we ought. We're not really loving His Word as we ought. You who love the Lord, hate evil. Well, I want you to go a little farther with me. I want you also to think about exercising your will. With my will. Spiritual fitness, not only with my intellect and with my emotions, but now with my will to act, to live God's Word. May I say this, that you can't live God's Word without, first of all, loving God's Word. And you can't love God's Word without, first of all, learning God's Word. So those three things, to learn, to love, and to live God's Word. And there are three things I'd like to share with you here about this, or two things. First of all, may God give you the will to believe God's Word, to choose it. Here it is. Look, for instance, at verse 30. "I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me." It's a choice that you make, and there are a number of other verses that say this as well, to choose to believe God's wonderful Word. You'll see it in verse 66, for instance. "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commands." And I want you to see something else. It's not only a matter of choosing to believe this wonderful Word, to choose it, but now see something else here, to obey it, to obey God's commands. Look at verse 5. It says, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes." The word "keep" there means obey. Newer translations use the word "obey your commands." And you will find that call to keep or obey, as I counted them up, a total of 26 times in these 176 verses. I want to obey to keep your commands. May that be our desire, to obey God's Word, to put it into action in our lives. And, you know, it's only Christians, people who have come to Christ, have received the Lord. And I want to ask you a question here. Have you truly received Jesus Christ as Savior? If you have, then you are enrolled in God's Olympics, and now you're in a position where you can begin to learn God's truth, and then to, with your emotions, love God's truth, and with your will to obey God's wonderful truth. There's another slide that I'd like you to see right now, the next one that comes up here. And it's this, a commitment to make. Lord, I choose to obey and to participate in God's Olympics. May I encourage you to do that? Say, I want to be an Olympian in God's wonderful plan. And look at the rest of this. How do I want to do that? With my intellect, with my emotions, with my will. I want to learn, I want to love, I want to live God's wonderful word. As I was meditating on this psalm some time ago, I decided to write some words down, and here it is. And it goes like this. Your word I believe with all my heart. Your word I believe with all my heart. Your word I believe with all my heart. For I love you, Lord. For I love you, Lord. And I bet you could sing the second stanza with me. Your word I will love. Would you sing it with me? And my hand will go up or down, whichever way your voice ought to go. Let's sing it. Your word I will love with all my heart. Your word I will love with all my heart. Your word I will love with all my heart. For I love you, Lord. For I love you, Lord. Do you love Him? Do you love His word? Then are you willing to sing the last stanza with me? Your word I'll obey with all my heart. We'll set it up just a little higher to get a little more excited about this. Your word I'll obey with all my heart. Your word I'll obey with all my heart. Your word I'll obey with all my heart. For I love you. Let's conclude with our worship team.